Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to look at what Jude taught about hating the polluted garment. So let's read Jude verse 23 again together. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now, over the last several broadcasts, we've gone over the issue of what Jude was talking about when he said that we are to hate even the garment polluted by the flesh. Jude was illustrating that it really doesn't matter what our personal beliefs are, because we do not have the right to simply make up our own doctrine or to apply our own personal and private interpretations on Scripture simply because that makes our own personal design or theology work out. Now, Jude and all the other men whom God used to pin down sacred Scripture taught that we must work very hard, we must be diligent, we must struggle in order to get the gospel right. Let's read what the Apostle Paul's admonition to Timothy about this was in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." All of the apostles knew that if we do not learn the truth, if we do not diligently study the truth, that people would come into the church to warp and change the truth, and we would lose sight of that which God had said. The entire epistle of Jude was written to awaken God's people to the need to love and value God's word to the extent that we would gladly push other things out of the way so that we could learn and know and cherish the words of life. But inexplicably, many in the church today do not seem to see the need to know or study or even read God's word on a regular basis. And yet these same people see no danger in that. In fact, so many church members have fallen in love with this present world and the pleasures of it, so much that to even suggest that we should maybe turn off the TV, read our Bibles, seems to many to be legalistic, cruel, harsh, unloving, and even unchristian. People who are alive today are literally watching the dismantling of Western civilization right before their eyes. We are beholding the beginnings of a religious war between Orthodox Islam and the West. And we are watching ungodly people who don't believe in anything transform our culture through the American court system. And yet, in spite of all these great evils, many today are still fast asleep, completely unconcerned at one of the most crucial junctures in human history. I can assure you that if the demonic followers of Muhammad succeed in transforming the United States into an Islamic republic, you won't sit home and watch the game then. You won't spend hours playing video games then. And perhaps then, after we are oppressed and enslaved, we will awaken to the great need to love and serve God with all of our hearts. It is almost beyond belief that anyone could think that God would go to such great lengths to give us His Word and then not desire that we read it and know it. But more and more often, it is common to hear statements like, "Oh, brother, we don't need doctrine, we just need love," or "Doctrine divides people, Brother Blair, but Jesus brings them together," or "Studying the Word of God too much is going to quench the Spirit." Liberal and untrue statements like that reflect great ignorance about how controversial Jesus really was when he walked this earth and about how much he and the apostles taught about the need to learn truth correctly and then teach it to others also. So you tell me, I am saying that we are living in the last days. Do you believe that? And I'm saying that part of being in the last days is not just all the national and international signs that are occurring. These things are fascinating, and they are indeed signs, but please don't miss the signs that are vastly more important and vastly closer to home. I mean, look, I understand about how many of you believe that the temple in Israel is going to be rebuilt, and I understand about what is supposed to happen with the nation of Israel, and I understand about the supposed rise of the man of sin, and all of that is going to happen. Okay, fine. But please, my brothers and sisters, let us also read and talk about the other signs of the second coming and all the other signs of the last days that affect all of us. Signs like in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3 when Paul said, "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it, the coming of the Lord, will not come unless the apostasy comes first." Now, what does it mean for Paul to say, "For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first"? What does that mean? What is the apostasy that the Apostle Paul speaks of here? Well, first of all, the word apostasy comes from the Greek word apostasia and means to fall or to defect into false teaching. So right off the bat, you can't fall away from something unless you were somewhere higher in the first place. To fall is to go back, to go down, to depart from something. It is to be drawn away, to become lukewarm. So to fall into apostasy then is to leave the truth and go after something else that is false. So put all that back together. The Apostle Paul spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and said that the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth will not come until God's people specifically and the church in general falls or defects into false teaching, until they leave something that is better and go after something that is far worse, until they have become lukewarm. Now please remember, brothers and sisters, I didn't write this. God the Holy Spirit did. And if it doesn't mean what I just said it means, then please tell me what it does mean, because we have to agree that it means something. God didn't put this in the Bible simply because he had space left on the page. But he told us how things would be before the return of the Lord. So when you see people in the church falling away from the truth, when you see God's people willingly ignorant of the Bible, when you see all of these things come to pass, then you know that we are living in the last days. And Jude says that we are to hate this kind of pollution that is staining the glorious garment of the church. And we are instructed in this epistle of Jude to hate the filthy garments that are being polluted by the flesh and cry out against them. Well, are there any more signs that we are living in the last days? Yeah, absolutely. Turn with me and read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 that says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captive weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith." Now look specifically back at verses 2 through 5 again. It says, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." Now, verse 1 says that these signs are not going to be signs that appear all throughout history to various people at various times, but these are specific signs that are going to affect the church, and these are signs that are going to occur in the last days. So I ask you, compared to the early church, do we fit this bill today? Paul said that in the last days men would be lovers of their own selves. Are we not lovers of ourselves today? Is that not taught today? Do not many of the most widely known preachers actually teach that one of the most important things we can do as God's people today is to build up our own self-esteem? Well, Jude says we're to hate that spot. Paul said that in the last days men would be covetous. When you look around, is this not the most covetous generation in the 2,000-year history of the church? Is not the very foundational teaching of many in the modern church that the sure sign of being saved is that we all increase in wealth and material possessions? Beloved, Jude says we're to hate the spot of covetousness. Paul said that one of the sure signs of the last days is that the people of God would become unthankful. And because we have bought into the lie that material goods make us happy, we have become the most self-absorbed, self-centered, and unhappy people the world has ever known. Jude says we're supposed to hate that. On and on Paul went, describing the horror of people who know to do good, but yet fall in love with things that cannot ever please God. These signs that Paul puts forth escalates until he sums them all up by saying that in the last days, just prior to the return of Jesus Christ, rather than the church being on fire for God and remaining faithful, the church is going to love pleasure more than they love God. This is one of the best descriptions of the modern church that I know of. This is precisely why prayer meetings and Bible studies are the least attended service by any church in America today. Men love pleasure more than they love God. This is why church after church is canceling Bible studies, replacing them with motorcycle riding clubs and quilting classes and weight loss seminars. Men love pleasure more than they love God. This is why church after church canceled their Sunday night service just this past February, so that the lukewarm and unsaved men of the church could stay home and watch the Super Bowl. Men love pleasure more than they love God. This is why a church can pack out the house as long as they offer some form of light, funny, unserious entertainment, because we're living in the last days and men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, before you turn off the radio in anger toward me, please remember, I am not the one who said all these things. The Apostle Paul said them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, because these words are from God, then one of two things is true. Either what I have just said is right, or else we are not living in the last days. Because Paul said that these things would happen in the church in the last days. All this means that the church is going to get weak right before Jesus comes. That means that God's people are going to fall in love with this life and the natural things of this life, and that we are going to love the stuff more than we love the God who made the stuff. So Jude sees all of this, and Jude cries out to those who have an ear to hear, and he tells us that we need to hate these things that can pollute our garments, and that we need to keep our garments white and clean and free from wrinkles, and that we need to work real hard that this does not happen to us, and that we all need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So I pray that if you have not gotten anything else from these broadcasts over this past year, that you have seen the great need that we have today to love and value and cherish and appreciate God's Word enough to actually spend time with it, to uncover the great and glorious truths that God has revealed in Holy Scripture for yourself, and that we all love the Lord with all of our hearts, and that we hate the garment that is polluted by the flesh. Well, I'm going to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.